So we know that believers get forgiveness from God. But is it possible that unbelievers get forgiveness as well? That's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series where we're doing our best to answer questions that come in from listeners just like you. You can reach out to us through email. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's exciting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're continuing our series on doing Q&As.
We're having a lot of fun with these Q&As.
This is a question. It's kind of an interesting question. It stems from our somewhat novel or radical views of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And so I think a lot of evangelicals who are divided into two camps, Calvinists and Arminians, all share the same fundamental assumption, and that's that all the benefits of the cross come as a package.
I like the way you explain it that way. They do call it a package. Either you get all of it or none of it.
If you get one benefit, that means you have to get all of the other benefits, right?
Right.
They come as a package.
So if Christ takes away your sins and makes you savable, he also forgives all your sins. He gives you eternal life.
Right.
He makes you eternally secure, et cetera, et cetera.
So like in John 1:29, when it says, John the Baptist says, looking at Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A Calvinist reads that and says, well, if you get your sins taken away, that must also mean you get eternal life and justification, sanctification, and glorification.
Right.
And an Arminian assumes the same thing, because an Arminian assumes that it's a package as well. And so
does
the Universalist.
Well, the Arminian would say you can then lose it.
Right. Then you can lose. Yeah, you can get these benefits and lose the benefits and get the benefits and lose the benefits.
And the Universalist would say, well, everybody's born again no matter what they do because Christ died for everybody.
Right. If he takes away the sins of everyone, then he gives eternal life to everybody. But all the assumption is they come as a package, all right? And so we have said, what if they don't come as a package? What if different benefits are given to different people under different conditions?
Exactly.
So, like, you can have your sins taken away, but only believers get everlasting life, John 3:16.
Right. So everybody gets the sins taken away, but
right,
only the believer gets everlasting life.
And then within even believers, only believers who walk in the light and who confess their sins, 1 John 1, verses 7 to 9, are forgiven their sins and cleansed of all unrighteousness.
That's right. There's a positional forgiveness that the believer gets, so that all his sins, past, present, and future, are nailed to the cross, taken out of the way. But there's also what many people call fellowship or family forgiveness. And that's what 1 John 1:7 and 9 is talking about. And that says that even the believer doesn't automatically get that.
And so that these are kind of new ideas for most people. You know,
right,
they haven't really thought about the benefits of the cross being kind of separable like that or distinguishable like that. And so when we say that Jesus came and as Lamb of God, he took away the sins of the world, there's a lot of people assume, because they have for centuries, that must mean that everybody gets forgiven. And we say,
well, they don't get forgiven unless they believe. And even when they believe, they don't have ongoing fellowship forgiveness unless they walk in the light and confess their sins. So to me, it's a great mistake to tell someone that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he's forgiven all your sins.
Right.
No, he hasn't forgiven them. He's taken them out of the way as far as a barrier.
Right.
But now you have a good question
And so that's all a lead into this question from Craig. So given that man's sins are not the issue for determining our eternal destiny, which is solely based on believing in Jesus, what is the status of an unbeliever regarding the forgiveness of their sins? Does forgiveness only apply to believers? Okay, let's break that down for a second here.
Right.
The first part is, so he says, so given that man's sins are not the issue for determining our eternal destiny. Now, that's a radical statement. You know, that's what we say. Most evangelicals would say, no, your sins are an issue in determining your eternal destiny.
Right, and that's why they would say you have to turn from your sins in order to be born again, because you have to deal with your own sins.
Right. They say Jesus has not dealt with their sin problem in actuality. A lot of traditions teach what's called preparationism. Before you can believe the gospel, you need to go through this period of deep conviction of your sin, and you have to be able to turn away from your sin, you have to seek forgiveness of your sin, and you have to do all kinds of preparatory work, like maybe good works to prepare your heart for, all kinds of preparation, praying at the altar at the front of the church, and tarrying before the Lord and doing all kinds of things
right
before you can get the gift of eternal life. And what we're saying is, no, apparently from the way Jesus evangelized, he just offered people the gift of eternal life right away.
There was 3:16, whoever believes.
No preparation is necessary. Now, it could be that as part of your story, before you're ready to believe in Jesus for your Savior, you have to kind of go through this experience of conviction of sin, for example.
Right.
But that's not necessary. What we're saying. So Craig has this question. Well, if man's sins aren't the issue for determining our eternal destiny, which is solely based on believing in Jesus, so that is the only question at issue for you. Do you believe in Jesus for eternal life or not? That's the only issue. He asks, what's the status of an unbeliever regarding the forgiveness of their sins? And I think the answer is very simple. Their sins are not forgiven.
Right.
But there's nuance there.
There is nuance. And I want to come back to something you just said about conviction of sin. It seems to me the unbeliever needs to recognize that he's dead, spiritually dead, and he needs life. Now, if he can understand that apart from recognizing his sins are something which will ultimately result in condemnation, not because they weren't taken care of, but because there's only two ways to get into the kingdom. One is to live a perfect life, and two is to believe in Jesus. If you don't live a perfect life, your name's not going to get in the book of life, and nobody does that except Jesus. And secondly, if you believe in Jesus, your name's in the book of life. So the conviction of sins, in my estimation, is something which, first of all, everyone has because of John 16:7-11. The Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But not in the sense that somehow our sins separate us from God. They don't. What happens is the cross bridges the gap, as almost every tract shows. Mm-hmm. And if we simply believe because of the blood of Christ, then we gain eternal life. And as part of gaining eternal life, we also get a sort of a positional forgiveness. But let's say that Craig, 1 week after he comes to faith in Christ, stops walking with Christ. He no longer confesses his sins. He's not going to church. He's not in the Word. He's not walking with Christ. Well, now he's walking an unforgiven life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean his past sins weren't forgiven. It means in a fellowship sense, he's not in fellowship with God.
Right.
And he's not experiencing forgiveness. But the unbeliever, moment by moment, is unforgiven.
Right.
Both in the positional and in the fellowship sense, the unbeliever has that problem. The other problem the unbeliever has is he's a slave of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Jesus said the truth will set you free in John 8:32, and that is, if a person abides in his word, then Jesus will set us free from the bondage to sin. Romans 6:7-8 talks about this too, that we're set free from bondage to sin as we appropriate the work of the Spirit. But the point is, Jesus said in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
What that means in my estimation is the unbeliever is a slave of sin, and if they don't come to faith in Christ before they die, they're going to be a slave of sin their entire life and die as a slave of sin.
Right.
They're going to die in their sins.
Because taking away the sins of the world is not the same as an experiential freedom from sin.
Absolutely.
In the life of sanctification. There are different benefits for different people in different conditions.
And so you need a book on that, too.
And I'm writing a book on that.
Right,
it will
good.
Be available.
Right.
So we have this kind of interest. This is a very different way of reading the Bible. It means you have to be a careful reader of the text. If you come across a verse in Scripture that describes one of the benefits of Christ that he gives us through the cross, you need to ask yourself three questions. One, what is the benefit? Two, who's the beneficiary? Who's it being given to? In John 1:29, Jesus takes away the sins of the world.
Right.
That's the beneficiary. And then you have to ask a third question. What's the condition to receive the benefit? You can't just assume it comes as a package. You have to really look at it verse by verse and be careful and actually do your homework.
All right. I agree absolutely. And here's another point. people who study John's gospel, they all recognize that John's gospel does not emphasize the forgiveness of sins. In fact, John's gospel de-emphasizes the forgiveness. There's only two mention of the forgiveness of sins in John's gospel. One is when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, and that doesn't even use the word forgiveness. It's talking about cleansing. You're clean, but not all of you. You need your feet washed. It's kind of an illustration of 1 John 1:9. The other is after Jesus rises from the dead, he says to the disciples, if you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven.
Right.
Those are the two references to forgiveness in John's gospel. There's no place in John's gospel where Jesus says, he who believes in me receives the forgiveness of sins. Never.
Right.
And so we make a mistake by saying, believe in Jesus, get the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
It is true if you believe in Jesus, you get a positional forgiveness. But the point is, what you really absolutely get that's the clear point is you get everlasting life.
I want to try an illustration, Mira, and I'm just making it up as I go along here, Bob, so we might have
that's dangerous.
We might have to edit this
later.
But just to, some people still might be struggling with this idea. What do you mean? My sins are taken away, and I have maybe I even have eternal life, but I don't have forgiveness yet because those things are different. Okay, think about it this way. My son was playing on the street yesterday, and he was throwing around this big metal lid, and I was telling him, please stay away from the neighbor's cars. Do not throw it into the neighbor's cars.
Right.
Now, don't worry. He didn't smash a window. But it could have happened, right?
It could
very easily happen. So let's say he smashed the neighbor's window with this big metal disc that he's throwing around. Now, I would have to pay for that window. My son's debt would be paid for.
Right.
But what would my son still need from that owner?
He would need forgiveness.
He would need forgiveness. So he can have that debt paid and not owe that guy anything. And between my son and the neighbor, there'd be no debt whatsoever. But the forgiveness issue is a separate issue.
You'd still take him over to the neighbor's house and say, son, tell him that you're sorry for what you've done and ask him to forgive you.
Right. Right, absolutely. So I don't know, maybe that, does that help you kind of conceptualize how forgiveness is a different issue
keep
than having a debt
paid? Keep that illustration in. I like it.
I don't know.
But don't
work.
Be throwing metal things in the neighborhood.
I know.
This is not a good idea.
I thought it was like a green thing he's recycling. He's basically throwing garbage around instead of having to buy an actual Frisbee.
Yeah, but, just buy him a Frisbee at the thrift
yeah,
store.
It
costs
so.
You a dollar.
You know how cheap I am. So
no,
I'm
you're not.
Sure
he is
that.
Not
I'm
cheap.
Not that
he
cheap.
He is
I
not
know.
Cheap.
Well, keep sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org. We love answering them. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. We would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. All of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about fallen angels. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.